Welcome back to Michigan Talent Talk, a podcast by GST Michigan Works. Join us as our guests discuss valuable strategies to develop employable skills. Whether you're just getting started, taking the next step, or making the switch to a new career, learn from experts how to get the most from your job search. Now here's your host, Deonna Pratt.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Michigan Talent Talk podcast. I'm your host, Deonna Pratt. I have an exciting show lined up for you today. Did you know that January is National Human Trafficking Awareness Month? President Biden has proclaimed January 2023 as National Human Trafficking Prevention Month, reaffirming his administration's commitment to protect and empower survivors of all forms of human trafficking, to prosecute traffickers, and to bring an end to human trafficking in the United States and around the world. There is a trend happening that many of us are unaware of when it comes to the job bait and switch. You send your resume to a prospective employer for a job that seems promising. You're excited. You get the interview and you go to the interview only to realize something is off. The next thing you know, it's dark. You are in a room or a trunk with your hands and feet bound. Now you are in survival mode and need to figure out how to avoid being their next human trafficked victim. I have two experts on the show today from Homeland Security Investigations. They are Angie Salazar, Special Agent in Charge, and Lisa Keith, Acting Assistant Special Agent in Charge. Good morning and welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Deonna. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming on. Some people associate Homeland Security with the airport, right? We know that we need to get there early enough to get checked in, and there are a lot of steps that we must take that we are now accustomed to since 9/11. We think about the Patriot Act. That's what we know when it comes to Homeland Security. Will you give us some more information about what you do in Homeland Security Investigations and how it affects the average Joe?
Absolutely. So thank you for having us, and thank you for talking about this really important topic on a month that we focus on specifically awareness and outreach to try and make people aware about what this crime is so that we can help people who are in the situation and, of course, define the perpetrators behind it. So Homeland Security Investigations is just one agency within the Department of Homeland Security. There's about 22. A lot of people, the public-facing, uniformed agencies are some that the general public readily identifies as Homeland Security. Those would be TSA, who you see at the airport, like you mentioned. We also have uniformed personnel at ports of entry, whether it's a land border or a sea border, and you'll often see them also in blue in their Customs and Border Protection. And then you'll see our other uniformed branch of Border Patrol in between ports of entry, which are in our green uniforms. We, however, are Homeland Security Investigations, and we're plain clothes. We operate as criminal investigators, special agents, and we are focused on investigating all crime that touches the international border. And really, our mission is to protect trade, travel, and finance. And one of the crimes that we focus on is human trafficking. In fact, last year alone, our agency rescued over 700 victims from human trafficking.
So we've heard of sex and organ trafficking. What is human trafficking? Are there more than just organ and sex? What is human trafficking?
So I'll share, Deonna, that human trafficking, as you described, right, going to an interview and then ending up kidnapped and bound is really not the norm of how we see this crime, how we come across it. What we see more of is a real grooming process. And when I teach about human trafficking, I often compare it to domestic violence because it's so similar in the pattern and trends of physical, mental, and you know, the brainwashing that happens in order to get a victim under the full control of another person. And then they're forced into different situations, right? They can be forced into labor. They can, they can be forced into some sort of commercial sex situation. There's debt bondage that we see a lot with employment, where there is a false promise, a fraudulent contract portrayed as employment, only to have the victim put into a situation where they're just going to be working for years without ever getting out of debt. And something is held over their head, either shame, either money, either a debt, or we see often if they're from foreign countries where threats against their family members abroad are used to keep them under the control of the trafficker.
So you mentioned that they usually are not bound. That's very rare. So what happens in the beginning? There are a lot of stories out there where individuals were sedated and bound in the beginning, and then, of course, introduced to their new world of human trafficking. What is it like in the beginning? Are they just putting the gun to their head, or are they just saying, "Hey, this is your new life," and the person is willingly going in there? They're not bound.
That is such a great question, and so important for us to share, because this is exactly what makes this crime so difficult to investigate and so difficult to identify. The cases that we see start, for example, with minors, runaway children who end up meeting someone in the street who offers them a place to stay, some food, and then they're drugged. Then they're raped while they're drugged. Video is taken of them. And then they're extorted to stay in that situation, or else that video will become private or become public, or be sent to their parents, or be sent to their family members, or, you know, shared on a public platform to the school they go to. That's the subtlety of this crime and why it's so hidden in plain sight. It's these subtle forms of coercion. They take their ID, they brainwash them into believing that they can't go anywhere. Oftentimes traffickers pretend to be highly influential people, highly connected to law enforcement. And so they're threatened that even if you leave, the cops are just going to bring you back to me because I have them all paid off. That becomes particularly believable to foreign-born victims, where corruption in law enforcement is very prevalent. Seduction, many of the sex trafficking cases that we see, it involve a real, year-long courting of the victim, where the perpetrator will pretend to want to marry them, to be their boyfriend, and they sometimes even do marry them and have full-on weddings. They'll have children with them, only to later start physically assaulting, beating them, because the storyline is very often the same. The husband pretends to run out of money, and now we're so broke and I'm so angry and I'm beating you. If only you would get into selling yourself for sex, we would be more well off. And then the shame comes in and the forcing. They'll separate the mom from their children and say, if you don't continue to do this, you'll never see your child again. So those are more of the situations that we run into.
That's good that you pointed that out, because I think that most people probably wouldn't assume or realize, hey, I'm being trafficked by my own husband.
Right.
So what I'm hearing from you is there are many different variations of human trafficking. One could be a job where you go for an interview, because I've read some stories about this, and there's different stories out there. There's one story with this young lady. She was staying the night at a friend's house. They were outside, they were in the garden, and this guy, and they saw him back and forth driving up and down the road, and finally he pulls in the driveway when the girl was alone. I think she was 15 years old at the time, and then he forced her by gunpoint to get in the trunk. And so there's different stories out there. There's so many different variations of human trafficking. I just wanted to get a definition out there of what it is. Human trafficking advertising comes in many forms, one being jobs. We all know, even if it's rare, it's out there. Many people find themselves in an uncompromising position after going in for an interview Some folks are desperate for work, so they ignore the red flags with the hopes of getting the job and pay that's been advertised. What are the most pressing telltale signs that the job is not legit? Although it's rare, as you mentioned earlier, if someone is trying to do a bait and switch sort of a thing and say, hey, we have a modeling job and you're going to get paid $2,500 a day or a week. What are some of those telltale signs to let them know that this is not a real legit modeling job? You're going to go in there and then you're going to end up trafficked.
So much like all fraud, the telltale signs are the same, right? If the job is too good to be true, if you're getting hired to do something that you don't have the experience for, and yet they still want to hire you, if modeling becomes nudity, if they request for anything, any nude pictures, right? Whether it's for a job or for a friend or anything, you should never share those online. That's a number one thing that we're seeing right now. Like sextortion is what it's called, where you send a nude, and sometimes it's to someone just posing as someone who's trying to get to know you online, and you send the picture only to wind up in a situation where that video or picture is now being used to extort you into continuing to send more. But with work, if there is a contract demanding that you pay for things before you even get a job, you should not pursue that job. We see that a lot. I think that's the most common, especially with immigrants, that, you know, they're being asked to pay for a visa, asked to pay for fees. All those are things you should be very wary of. Definitely ask questions. And whenever in doubt, report it, right? We have our hotline 866-347-2423. But you should always report it. You can report it to state and local law enforcement as well. We all come together around human trafficking and collaborate and investigate.
You mentioned reporting. So if you have someone that's drugged, that's been trafficked for a while now, and most of the times those people end up helping their trafficker lure in more people or more women into that business. So how does that person get themselves out of that predicament? I mean, they're now into it. And I call it Stockholm syndrome. If you were kidnapped or forced into human trafficking, whether it's your husband, boyfriend, or someone, a stranger, and it's not just females, men are trafficked also. I don't want to just say that it's just the females, but men are also trafficked, boys, girls. How does one get themselves out of that predicament once they are trafficked?
Right. So we do see that situation in sex trafficking rings where for survival, one of the victims may become a participant in the scheme, right? But I know we've come a long way. In fact, all the investigations that we work around human trafficking really focus on the victim. We've termed the best practice victim-centered approach because it's so complex. And because the person may not even want to be, right? It might be their job to lure other people. And for survival, they're doing it. So it really is case-specific and fact-specific. I've seen cases where we do charge someone who has gone so far from being a victim into a trafficker that now you have demonstrated and there's evidence enough to prove that you're a participant in the scheme. I've seen cases where we don't charge because they were under such coercion or because the assault or the force or the totality of the circumstances was reasonable to believe that someone would have to just do what they're told in order to survive. And so the common denominator, what we always say is, if you're in trouble, ask for help, report it. If you're drugged, yeah, I don't know at what time they might enter a period of sobriety where they can ask for help. but they should. And if not, as the general public sees things, which is the majority, I'll share, is the majority of way we identify these cases is by the public telling us or informing us that it's happening, and then we start an investigation. So just like a victim can come forward and ask for help, which is not common, they almost always don't even identify as a victim, especially if they're immigrant victims who are working. They don't even know this law exists. I had a case when I first started years ago, and we were told that a reporting party called in and said, there's these weird lines of men lining up against along the freeway at an agricultural field. It just seems weird. So we investigated it and ended up finding that what they were doing was lining up for sex services. And there was a girl there who was 18 years old. She had just turned 18. She was on a cardboard box that had been cut up on the ground with an oven timer. And every 5 minutes, she was servicing another man.
Wow.
When we met her, she said she wasn't a victim. She wanted to do this. And we weren't going to tell her what she could or could not do with her body. So that should give to you an idea of the level of coercion and complete mental control these victims are under.
I came across the story, as I mentioned, when I was reviewing human trafficking and preparing for this show. I read quite a few stories about people who that survived and got themselves out of that situation. And I came across the story from the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. The survivor's name was Angela, and she came to the U.S. on a legal work visa. And she explained that coming here was like winning the lottery. Coming here from the Philippines was like winning the lottery. And she was trafficked with a false job offer. And when she got here, as you mentioned earlier, with immigrants, they're sometimes told that they have to pay in order to work. Well, the trafficker said, hey, I brought you over here. This is great. Yeah, well, now you owe me $12,000. And you're going to have to work for me. And I'm going to pay you $600 per month. And then half of that is going to come back to me. And we're not talking the 1980s, 50s, 70s. We're talking in the 2000s when this happened. And she said, you're going to have to work for me for 10 years and at this elderly home that she owned. And someone noticed that the lady there was working around the clock, it seemed, because she was working like 18 hours. And they contacted the FBI. But she worked for 2 years. And after the FBI got involved, she was able to be relieved from that nightmare that she was in. What would you say to someone like that came over?
So FBI investigates human trafficking, right? The state and local law enforcement investigate human trafficking. You should call whatever number you have. And the law enforcement side of it, we will come together as needed. We collaborate on some cases. Some cases we investigate independently. But rest assured, law enforcement, when needed, we will all step in if we have to. But the victims should report it to whatever number you have. There is victim-specific hotlines that individuals can call. Our number, as I mentioned, is 866-347-2423, and we can respond as well. And if we need to get any other partner involved, we will. We work with non-governmental organizations who do tremendous work in this space, in supporting victims. And, you know, having a debt held over your head is not allowed. Whether you are here on a visa or you're here illegally or you're a US citizen, the United States protects victims of crime. And there are a lot of protections for victims of human trafficking. And
what is that? What is that? The Trafficking Victims Protection Act, what is that?
So prior to 2000, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, the first one was released in 2000. Prior to that, human trafficking was really prosecuted under, you know, the 13th Amendment, the old, slavery violations. The 2000 Trafficking Protection Act created new laws to prosecute human trafficking. So they created the actual sex trafficking violation, the forced labor violation. They define debt bondage. And that authorization is redone every so many years. And the U.S. government does a great job of every time they're going to reauthorize, reach out to the experts, reach out to survivors and hear, are these violations efficient? Are the benefits that are allowed for victims of trafficking enough? And we all provide feedback, and then the bill is reauthorized. And sometimes the law changes slightly, sometimes the benefit changes slightly. But the most recent one was just reauthorized December 27th by President Biden.
And what is that phone number again for our audience to just have on hand, just in case they witness something or they find themselves in a predicament where they are being trafficked?
The number is 866-347-2423. And you can report human trafficking to that tip line. You can report any violation related to trade, travel, or finance.
And what would you like to leave the listeners with that we have not covered?
We are it is National Human Trafficking Awareness Month, and I just encourage folks to really get informed. We have a website, the DHS Blue Campaign. You can Google that, learn how to get involved, learn how to report the crime, learn how to help your community combat this crime. And really what we ask is for eyes and ears. If you see someone who's in trouble, you know, there's projections out there about how many millions of victims exist. And I always try to tell the public, that's a demographic projection. We don't know how many victims are there until we actually rescue them. So we like to focus on even just one victim is too many. So if you know of someone who might be in trouble, don't be afraid to report something that, you know, you think, oh, maybe it's not trafficking and I'm just going to get this person in trouble. Still report it. That's our job. We will investigate and we will, you know, we will make sure a crime exists and we will rescue anyone who's in trouble. And if there was no crime happening, then there's no issue, but at least we know we didn't leave someone in a human trafficking situation. We'd also like to share that we're constantly recruiting for Department of Homeland Security, and I'll turn it over to Lisa.
Thanks, Angie. Like Angie said, we do need the public and community's help in combating this crime. But if this sounds like a mission that one of your listeners is interested in for a career, we actually have an entry-level criminal investigator special agent position open right now. It opened yesterday, January 10th, and it will be open through tomorrow, January 12th. Again, that's an entry-level position. And just a little bit more about HSI. We have over 10,000 employees, including special agents, criminal analysts, mission support personnel, and contract staff throughout the United States and across the world. We have more than 7,000 special agents who are assigned to 30 special agent in charge offices across the country in over 250 cities. We also have an international footprint with over 80 offices in more than 50 countries with more than 200 special agents located in those U.S. embassies, consulates, and combatant commands around the globe. Some things that special agents do include, you could be spending the day at your desk, writing reports, reviewing financial documents, drafting affidavits, meeting with assistant United States attorneys who are our federal prosecutors, meeting with U.S. magistrate judges, conducting outreach. We do a lot of human trafficking outreach, communicating with our partners, state, local, and federal. Every day is different. It can be very exciting and very rewarding. So that entry-level announcement can be found on usajobs.gov. And then also, if you go to ICE.gov, you can find a pathway to some of the other things that HSI is hiring for. We have a Pathways internship program coming at the end of the month. You can find some information about that there. That's a paid internship program that can be converted into a full-time special agent position following the internship. And then there's also an opportunity for veterans. We call that our HERO program. And those veterans get trained in computer forensics. Following that training, they do a one-year internship program that can also be turned into a full-time position. So there's a lot of opportunity out there right now and through the rest of this year. So I encourage those interested to check it out.
And again, where can they go to apply for the jobs?
That's usajobs.gov.
Thank you so much. This show is going to help a lot of people. I really appreciate both of you for coming to the show. And special thank you to Valentina Seeley. She's with Homeland Security, serving in the Office of Partnership and Engagement as the Northern Region Director. Also, special thank you to Robert Gunn. He is in the Office of Public Affairs. Without their help, we would not have been able to bring this information to our audience. Human trafficking is prevalent. Stay vigilant, everyone. That's our show. Thank you for listening.